Welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. My name is Alex Russell, and I am your host. All right, website. You guys know it. You live by it. Please go to it, thedetailsolutionspodcast.com. That's where you're going to find all the links to the podcast. And obviously, you're listening to it now, but just in case you need to find someplace to listen to it, it's going to have the links where you can go and listen to it. We also have our preferred vendor page. That's going to be where all of our sponsors are listed. So you can click the Listen, it's Saturday. We're doing this on an off day. So the preferred vendor page is where you can go and find all of our sponsors. It's going to have the quick link to click to go to their page. I'm just going to stop right there. Go to their page. Spend some money with them because it's going to have the discounts, the money funny. You guys all know that. The merch store, if you guys want to buy any t-shirts, hats, hoodies, the Concaster shirt, get ready for MTE. I'll have those there. I'm working on maybe doing the Rockers t-shirt, the Drake Rockers t-shirt. You guys might have seen it in the group. Maybe that'll pop up there. And then also, you know, all of these are live streamed, whether it's a Q&A or topic or, you know, when we do product spotlights, things like that. They're live streamed onto YouTube. So the Detail Solutions Podcast on YouTube is where you can go and check these out if you want to catch them. Make sure you like, share, subscribe, hit that notification button so you can get notified when we are going live. TikTok is the Detail Solutions Pod. Probably going to work on that more closer to the beginning of the year because we're going to start doing some stuff with our sponsors. And then we are getting closer to that time. It's the wonderful time of the holidays. And just after the holidays is MTE. If you're planning on coming to MTE January 26th through the 28th, 2023, make sure you go to the mobiletechexpo.com website and use the code DSP15 and you'll save 15% off of your tickets. And while you're there, click on over to the Golden Mic. It's mobiletechexpo.com/golden-mic or golden-mic. And please nominate us for the Golden Mic Award. You can nominate whichever podcast you want, but at least nominate us. And then please go like, share, follow, subscribe anywhere you're listening to the podcast. When I did the Spotify Wrapped deal the other day, on the last podcast at the end, if you didn't listen to it, shockingly, I was surprised, 24% of our followers or 24% of our listeners, actually follow us. So that's awesome. Goal is to, hopefully have that jump up next year. So please go and, go follow the podcast, subscribe to it. Appreciate it. All right. So this was completely coincidental. The U.S. Netherlands match just finished up about 20 minutes ago, and and I'm not going to be salty about it. I'm not that big of a soccer fan, anyways. But I've got Serge Lingendoon. See, I told you, I told you I'd butcher Lingendoon down.
Lingendoon.
Langendown, that's it. Yeah,
Langendoon.
Like it's O-O-N, Dune. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, these. That's the fun part about talking to people internationally is butchering names. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah. I'm good. I appreciate you coming on and doing this, man. Like, you know, I've been begging for more international people. I'm tired of Cam Scorey from Australia being the, you know, the one international person that keeps calling us all the time. Love you, Cam, but we need more people.
I also love him.
Yeah. He's hard. But, he's hard to hate.
For the 3-1, man. Sorry for the soccer match. Sorry.
Yeah. So it was pretty cool. I guess John was hanging out with you recently. and you guys got to talking about the podcast or something like that. And
and
he messaged me. He's like, man, I know you're looking for more international people, and he said that you had kind of started listening to the podcast and inquired about it. So he was like, hey, if you want. And I was like, heck yeah, man, let's get him on. So
yeah, it was nice. Yeah.
A couple weeks later, here we are. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, the only question I really come to is where, when, how, why did you get into detailing?
Well, before I got into detailing, I was in food and beverage.
Okay.
We had like a family business, and at my off days, I always worked on my car, you know, clean it, and that was before detailing even got big in the Netherlands or in Europe.
Okay.
So that was around 2009, I believe. Then everything just came up here. So I was working on my car, and I thought, well, this is nice to do, and I was kind of getting sick of the food and beverage because 7 days, 15 to 16, 18 hours a day.
Yeah.
So, and I got a family and that, you know. So I was working on my car and I saw all these new products coming up. And I noticed that, well, I'm quite good in this, you know. And then a few companies in the Netherlands, they started with detailing. And I thought, well, I'm like fed up with running a business.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, why don't make it a business and see if it works? So I started doing that around 2011, I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's how I got into detailing.
Nice. So you got fed up with the food with a business to start another business, basically, right?
yeah. And I thought, well, what's the best way to get out of food and beverage?
Right.
Well, that was the way to go. And my parents, they grew up too old, you know, they were not too old. And I hope she doesn't hear this. so I told her, you know, we'll sell the business and I will go on with my detailing company.
Okay.
And it just grew up because it was beginning in the Netherlands. So I made the whole lift, you know, it went bigger and bigger and bigger. And I was one of the first. I think there were like five companies in the Netherlands. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow. And this was 2011. It wasn't like a big thing.
Yeah, around 2010, 2011.
Wow. See, that's I don't know. I guess that's surprising to me because my background is car washing. So I mean, in 2011, I was still working for a car wash, but I did know of, you know, like detailers and detail shops and mobile guys and things like that. But I just always, I just always kind of thought that detailing was bigger in Europe kind of before, you know, here in the States. So that's kind of, I guess, a little shocking or amazing to me.
Yeah, well, it was like, you have like the normal, what's it pronounced in English? Velleters, the normal... not the high-end companies. And,
right, yeah.
But yeah, that's the main work. They are here, you know, and for like 20, 30 years, maybe longer even
right,
longer.
Right.
But like with the detailing and all the new products coming, they're coming from the US, a lot of the products.
Yeah.
Like with chemical guys and so, So that,
Yeah, that's one of the things that's one of the things I have learned by doing this is that it does seem like the US does things first and then it's kind of slowly spread throughout the world. But also there's a lot of stuff made in Europe too, that you guys are kind of, you know, privy to that we aren't, you know, we don't get or whatever. So I think it's kind of a mix back and forth and everything.
You see is that like the main the big like Sonax and that sort of brands, Kitech, Swisstech, we all know that. Yeah, they were already here.
Yeah,
but they were like for the car washers. Now they're just slowly, not for the last few years, they're slowly turning over to detailing.
Right.
Brands.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's kind of one of the things, especially with Swissvax. I mean, my buddy Brian Guy here in Central Florida, who's, you know, been, you know, all over the place with detailing. He's kind of runs the Swiss Vax North America. And even he tells me, like, he's like, I don't really sell to pro detailers, or, you know, he's like, I sell mainly to like the DIY guys and things like that. And it just, even that kind of amazed me. I was like, really? And he's like, yeah. He goes, you know, he's like, I get a lot of like, you know, professional detailers or whatever that'll buy it from me. But he's like, that's not where our market is really. Our market is more of the DIY guy, you know, the Corvette owner that spends all day Sunday in the garage. And that was kind of shocking. So when you first started, did you start mobile or did you start with a shop, or how did that go?
I was not like really mobile because I was in another shop with a guy who does woodwork.
Oh, okay.
And he wasn't there because he was always on the road and working everywhere. So the shop was sort of like mine, and it was very nice environment to work in. But then he suddenly changed and he said, well, I'm going to get more in my my shop. And and he was like sawing all the wood over there. So okay, this is not, you know, all the dust and everything. Yeah, it's not gonna work anymore. So in the beginning I worked, I was not like really mobile, sort of like, so I immediately thought by myself, well, I have to find a place of my own. And for me, it was sort of like easy because I wasn't like, it was not my main thing to earn money. I wasn't living off it because we still had the other shop, like the food and beverage.
Right.
So at one point I had two shops besides. So one food and beverage and one with detailing.
Nice.
Yeah. And that was crazy.
You just run back and forth between the two of them.
I really did that. You know that? I was working on a car. And then they called from the other shop. They called and said, "Yeah, somebody's sick. Can you please help us?" So I stopped working, and it was like 40 kilometers or something. So I drove there, worked to like 8 or 9 in the evening, and then went back to the detailing shop.
Oh, wow.
And finished the car. Yeah, until like 1, 2, 3 in the evening, in the night.
That's crazy.
And that's crazy. But I went to another shop, my own shop, my first shop. Yeah.
Right.
It was a small one.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, quick question on the food and beverage business, because like food and beverage here is, I mean, are you talking like a restaurant? Because when I think food and beverage, like over here, it's kind of usually that term is more of the people that supply the restaurant. So, they'll run, you know, whatever, you know, to the restaurants and do deliveries and stuff like that. So was it more of a restaurant or was it more of like a service for restaurants?
Yeah, it was sort of like a restaurant, but for not really fast food, a little bit more classy, not classy, I don't, but like we also
like dining room, like sit
yeah down, like a dining yeah, yeah 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 like a dining yeah yeah but we always yeah. we also sold like fish and chips and that sort of things.
Oh, okay.
And that was in Gouda. That's a city in the Netherlands with the Gouda cheese, you know?
I don't know.
You know Gouda cheese? You don't know Gouda cheese? No? Ah, man, that's real famous. That was it. That was the shop that we had. Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, that's pretty cool. No, I was just curious how what exactly the food and beverage was. Let's do our first commercial real quick.
Okay.
Oh man, can somebody turn that down? Hey, I wanted to tell you how the Detailers Roadmap has increased leads and boosted my website's optimization on Google. The whole process from start to finish was a breeze, and the Detailers Roadmap staff was there every step of the way. They have a full team of writers and designers to communicate with during your development. And with the Detailers Roadmap, your site is built to convert and rank high on Google's main page. So go to detailersroadmap.com and start your new site design today. Missed it on that one. Dang it. I'm usually better about it. So when you first started, did you just immediately jump into like paint corrections and stuff, or was it more just like washing and waxing? And then what led you into like paint correction, ceramic coating, that stuff? Like, how did you do a training, or did you just kind of learn off YouTube?
Yeah, I saw some videos on YouTube because I was getting curious about some brands.
Right.
And I saw, oh, well, there's quite a lot to find on YouTube. So I thought, well, I'm going to buy my own polisher, my own machine. I think it was a Dub. You know what a Dub? Yeah, it's called Dub.
No.
Yeah.
That's another thing I'm learning is there's different machines like all over the world. Like, I mean, obviously there's, you know, everybody has Rupus and Flex and but depending on where you are in the world, sometimes there's different manufacturers that make machines that we don't have here that you guys have there too.
So I bought the machine and I just got into paint correction. And you know what the weirdest thing is, a lot of people tell me, I bought a hood or a door from scrapyard and and I just started working on cars.
Okay.
So yeah, and the only, well, first on my own car, of course.
Right.
Then I started working on cars around me, family, you know how it goes. And I immediately already noticed that it wasn't so really hard. For me, it wasn't very hard.
Right.
And that machine was like shit. You know? Yeah. It had absolutely no power. Right. So I was hours and hours polishing. and in the beginning with the chemical guys products, you know, and that already takes you hours and hours extra.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't really working in. Maybe they're better now, I don't know. But in the beginning it was really horrible. So I was trying other products that went really faster, quicker corrections. So I immediately started with paint correction. And just grow up from there. And I think I learned all of it from myself.
Okay.
Just doing it.
That's one of the things that I found too is, you know, it's, you know, I always say it's, you know, like sometimes you think about, you know, anybody can do it, right? Like it's just up and forth and, or up and down and back and forth. But where it really differs is, you know, your arm speed, your arm pressure, you know, the pads and compounds and stuff, and everybody's technique is different, right? Like yours is going to be different than mine. Mine's going to be different than the next person. And that's what I always tell people is just try everything that you can and then figure out what works best for you. And that's kind of how I feel like I've done. I've taken bits and pieces from everybody that I've talked to or have trained me and then kind of molded them all into my own little unique way or whatever that works for me. So yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, that's how I feel. You kind of have to learn it on your own in a sense, you know, that way.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You can do some trainings, of course.
Yeah.
And you can, you're going to get better from trainings. But after that, you have to do it all yourself, you know, just
right.
Put all the hours in it and then go on and try what's going to happen and try all different kind of products and all different kind of pads. And of course, it's going to take you a long time.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, my whole shop was full of different pads and products. And, you know, I was spending way too much money on all kind of new products. Oh, there's a new one coming. I have to get it in, you know?
Yeah. I think we all do that in the beginning.
That's the same.
Because you're unsure of what, you know, and then somebody's like, oh, you got to try this product. It's the greatest product ever. And you're like, okay, I got to try it, you know, and then it's really no different than the thing that you're already using. That was me. I mean, I've been, you know, now 7 years with my business since leaving the car wash. I forgot to change this. You know, it's like, you know, now my cabinet has like, you know, three or four compounds in it, you know, versus
before
it would be, you know, completely full. So,
I threw everything away.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It was even hard to sell. I posted it on the internet. You want to buy all this shit? And they don't even want to buy it.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. I even hang on, I'm trying to do too many things at one time. I just give most of mine away. Like, I'm just like, whatever. Yeah. Like, you know, hopefully I used enough of it to at least made enough money on the car that I used it on to pay for the bottle. And then a lot of times I'll just be like, here, just take it. Like, I've got some friends locally that sometimes I'm like, hey, do you want this? You know, just take it.
for people who do like a car in the weekend or so, it's perfect.
Yeah, because
everything's getting glossy with each product. So,
for them, it's
nice. It's okay. Yeah.
Right. So now are you primarily just like paint correction and coatings, or do you do any PPF as well or other services?
Yeah, we do a lot of PPF because like what I noticed is that only with paint correction and I have to search for a wax, I think, in my company because I can't find it anymore.
Yeah.
We only do like coatings and we do a lot of PPF. Yeah, that's because it's my colleague, that's Yuri. We're now like two businesses in one,
right.
Show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we can, because we really need each other, you know.
Right.
I do all the prep work. He does the PPF. I will do the coating again, check his work also. He checks my work.
Yeah.
And yeah, at that level, we're doing a lot of PPF and people are getting to know us now because we're doing a little bit different than I think the rest of the Netherlands. Yeah.
Oh, okay. What are you doing differently?
Well, I see that PPF is really getting big now, right?
Right.
And and you can go to Expel or another brand. You can do like a 1 or 2 day training. You get a certificate. People are on online with the thumbs up, pointing to each other. I got a certificate, and then they go to the car and put PPF on, like the really expensive cars, everything, and they'll say, "Well, let's do PPF." And that's getting a problem because we see a lot of shit work, a lot of damage on cars. You know, cars come in with PPF from other companies. We're like, "Okay, what's this? You really can't deliver a car looking like that."
Yeah.
So we thought, you know, and Yuri is he's like doing PPF for almost 15 years. He did in the early days, he did the really thick foil.
Yeah.
That was hardly to be done on a car, you know. Really, yeah.
Yeah.
He already worked with that.
Like the old 3M film and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. The old 3M film. Yeah. That's what, and for him, working with the new foil, with the new PPF, it's not easy, but it's sort of easy comparing to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what we did is you can go like for pre-cuts, you know, and do everything with pre-cut. We do everything from the roll, everything bulk installation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Of course, it's costing more money.
Yeah.
It's more material and it's way more work. But the level of installation and how he does this, it's really high. And that's really a big difference. And I think there's only one other company in the Netherlands who's doing it at the same level. But it's getting harder now because a lot of new companies are starting and they're dropping the prices on PPF, on the installations. Yeah. It's sort of like the same that with wrapping. In the beginning, it was a high level, and the costs are, you know, what people have to pay was pretty okay.
Right.
But now it's dropping. The prices are dropping. And so, it's hard. The only thing that we can make the difference is on quality.
Yeah. It's kind of like ceramic in that way, where everybody's kind of racing to the bottom with their pricing. They're trying to undercut each other, you know. Well, I'll do it cheaper, I'll do this, I'll do that. And that was kind of one of the reasons why I just kind of gave up on it. I mean, I didn't have a lot of business for it. You know, and my stress level with it was too much because, you know, I can't you know, I see everybody online, right? Like, and you see all these guys like, oh, this guy did a trash install, this guy, you know, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, I don't want to be ever, you know, like one of my cars, you know, and it just got to me too much. It was too much pressure.
Yeah.
And so like, I kind of did like what you're saying is I found a guy here locally and we became friends and he's been doing it for a long time and does a great job that, you know, now I just sub the workout to him. Yeah. And a lot of times he'll just come to my shop and do it if I have the car there, you know, if it's not anything crazy, you know. Yeah. And he gives me a retail price to tell the client, and then he gives me my price so I can make a little bit of money off of him as well. But yeah, I feel like PPF is, well, I don't know, judged more than detailing now, but I feel like you can be a little more ridiculed with your PPF jobs than with your detail jobs sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. If you're a full-time detailer and you do full-time paint corrections, you can't be a PPF installer also.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. You have to do it each day. Mm-hmm. Hours and hours and hours, same as you learned on detailing on paint correct. Exactly. You have to do it also with PPF. You have to start somewhere, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was the other thing too. You know, I mean, like I talked to so many people and they're just like, Alex, you have to, you know, you have to spend time every week, you know, doing patterns and this. And I said, I can't, I'm too busy with my, and I can't turn away those jobs to just sit and waste film, you know, kind of, you know, trying to get better at it. So yeah, that was where I just decided to make that switch and do it.
That's the other thing, because you're wasting a lot of film.
Yeah.
Learning it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And then like, we're like also when you was installing, he's installing PPF and he sees, it depends on what kind of brand of PPF you're using. But if he sees like little dust particle or something, he removes it, you know, and if it screws up the foil, he just rips it off and put a new piece of PPF on. You know, you can't leave it like that and then just give it to the customer.
Right,
that's not possible. Exactly. Yeah, exceptionally, we're like working in on some really high end clientele, and a lot of work that we're doing, we're not even allowed to show on the internet.
Oh wow.
Yeah, but that's also like shit, you know.
because you
really want to show it because it's gonna give you other customers, right?
Yeah.
If a customer sees, hey, you're installing that car, and I have the same car, so you can install my car also. You know how it works.
Yeah. I mean, one of our friends, Dave Fermani, he does a lot of Porsches and stuff that are, you know, he can't take pictures of. Like, he can take a picture of like the paint. Right. Yeah. But you can't see the car, you know, and so because he's doing a lot of like one of ones or one of nones, you know, things that are not supposed to exist or whatever. So, that's to me would just be kind of hard because, like you said, you know, you want to show off your work. You want to build that portfolio. What if somebody has something similar to it or whatever? Let's do another break real quick.
Yep.
Oberk Rinseless Wash is an advanced polymer blended concentrate perfect for waterless and rinseless wash processes. The formula is specifically blended to lift and remove dirt particles to avoid scratching and marring when washing and drying the painted surface. We've removed the guesswork from waterless and rinseless washing by creating a superior lubrication in comparison to traditional wash soaps, with the end result of protecting the painted surface from scratching during the wash process. Oberk Rinseless can help you save thousands of gallons, combine products for ease of mobile detailing, and is 100% biodegradable. Oberk Rinseless can be used anywhere and is able to be disposed of in your lawn. As a listener of the Detail Solutions podcast, you'll receive an 8-ounce APS soap with your purchase of any size rinseless wash using the code DSP, all caps. So go to oberkcarcare.com. And don't forget to use the code DSP, all caps, and save today. All right. So how did you get involved with Modesta?
That was in the beginning of 2013, the end of 2012, I believe. Yeah, yeah. I've
been quite, for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, really a long time. Yeah. The distributor of the Netherlands... He was looking for detailers. I think just the better shops or just people who were out there. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, I did a lot of YouTube.
Okay.
I made a lot of videos, and especially in the Netherlands, I think I was the only one, or one of the first. And that videos were also the YouTube channel. It grew really fast, and the distributor in Modesta saw it, and they thought maybe hey, that's an interesting guy. He can put it out there on the internet. People are going to look at it and see Modesta. So they came to me. Michael came also to me. Michael, I yep. You heard of him. Yeah. So they came to the shop, and I started working with Modesta. At that point, I was working, I think, with Opticode. I still can't believe what I was. At that time, like the same as chemical guys, you know, a lot of like the V series, the V polishers.
Yeah,
it was shit.
But at that time, Opti was kind of like one of the main ones, though, because there weren't really that many around at that time, right?
But it didn't do absolutely nothing on the car. It wasn't there. Like in a few months, it was gone. It was weird to see. Yeah, yeah. So I get acquainted with Modesta, and I thought, whoa, what's this? You know, this code at the beginning, it was, especially in comparison with Opticode, it was very hard to put on a car.
Yeah.
I really have to work on this one. You know, this is not like putting it on, wiping it off, and you're ready.
Right.
No, I especially with BCO5, and when it was getting hotter in the summer, oh, man, I can't get it off anymore. But with a little help, and especially from Tomo, I was in direct contact with him also. It grew pretty fast. I was like getting into a family of Modesta, and it felt really good.
Nice.
And they were helping me and helping me out, especially with supporting me how to work with it. And yeah, it sort of grew on. And now like Modesta is the only thing that I use. Because I'm not using like four or five different brands of coating.
Yeah.
That's stupid, stupid thing to do. Maybe people are doing that to get on each and every website so they can find them. You know, that's the only reason why they're doing like five coatings.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the only reason I can see. I mean, I only do one. I mean, I'm Secord's professional. I just, that's it. Cause again, to me, it's like, how do you sell one coating over the other, right? Like you use them all, so how are you selling one over the other? And I think you're right. I think everybody just wants to grab all the territory for every coating that they possibly can, just so that, you know, then somebody else isn't coming in and being able to use that coating in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Which over here, I mean, I don't know how it is there, but over here some of the coating brands have gotten better about that, where, you know, if they see that you've already got two or three or four coating brands, then they're just like, no, we don't want to, you know, have you be an installer, because they know that they're just trying to grab everybody. And so nobody else can, you know, be an installer in their area or whatever. So I think that's at least kind of good over here. They're starting to do that.
Yeah, that's the only way to do it, because you can't support just one. To say, well, this is Quartz, or this is Modesta, or this is whatever, everything. Yeah. There's a lot of coding brands out there. You can buy this one that's really good, or you can buy this one that's even better. But that's a different brand. Yeah, I know, but this one's better. But I still have another one, and that's even better. So people now they're calling me, and they say, I'm looking online for a coating. But I don't know which one to choose. Can you please help me?
Yeah.
You know, and I will just advise them, because Modesta, it's a very good thing. But if you don't do any maintenance on it, and if the detailer is not installing it correctly or doing the prep work correctly, it's all the same.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's all like it's not gonna work for you. So please maintain your coating, and then it will be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but of course there are some coating brands out there that you shouldn't buy. But okay, that's another story. That's another story, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll wait and get you and John on together for an episode for that one. Because
that's on. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the YouTube thing, what got you into starting the YouTube to do videos?
I saw videos of Larry in the beginning.
Okay.
Larry Casilla. I was thinking, okay, well, that's nice what he does. Maybe I should do that also, you know, get some customers in, because there are a lot of like normal developers out there, but who does detailing? So I started making YouTube videos, and it grew quite quickly. But then I get at the point, and that was a few years later, that it almost got me into a burnout.
Okay.
Because I did like videoing every car that you do is taking a lot of extra work.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you have to set the camera, everything. But then when it's ready, you're also working on the car, right? And you're running your business. You have to make sure that your customers are satisfied. You have to edit the video. So I was like one day until the middle of the night editing videos, and no rest anymore. So I was going on and on and on. And at one point, I think two times it happened, I just dropped beside the car, you know, I was on the floor.
Oh, wow.
I was completely blacked out. I couldn't work anymore. You know, I was really sick. So I dropped it a little bit on YouTube. But the company still grows and grows. I went to another shop, my second one. It was bigger, like three times bigger. And YouTube videos, they still went on, but not frequently, because if you want to do it correctly, you have to like post every week a video.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that if you have to do it all by yourself, you can't do it.
Yeah.
And then people are telling like, you know, hire someone who edits it for you, but they're not looking at the same way as you do. You know?
Right.
And the most thing that people said to me was, well, if I look at your video, there's like you can see the passion and you can feel the passion. And that's what I needed to get it in there, you know, and not drop it. Yeah.
So doesn't just look like you're a paid actor or something like that. Yeah. No. That was one of the things when I talked to Jim about is, you know, he said it just, you know, the time that it takes to do it, like you said, to set up each shop and or to set up the camera. And then like when you're, you know, you got to move the camera around to do this, you got to move the camera around to do that. And then staying up, you know, half the night or whatever editing.
I think I'm a little bit crazy or something, but when a car, you made it to come to this car, you know, to, I said, okay, the customer's here around 11.
Uh-huh.
So I need to clean up my shop, make sure everything was nice, you know. I went because that's my background from the food and beverage. I walked into the front door of my shop, looked around. Does this look okay? Or does it look okay? Is it clean enough? Not towels on the floor, never. I even cleaned my toilet because when somebody has to go to the toilet and it's filthy and dirty, they're not going to bring the car. They're not going to bring. Yep. So, and all of that things together, you know, it's hard to do. Really.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to be a detailer, but because they think it's earning a lot of money very quickly, but it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's definitely a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Let's do another break real quick.
Yeah.
Still sitting on a bucket or a poorly built shop stool? Aren't you tired of the discomfort and back pain caused by your lousy shop stool? The days of tiny casters and thin seats are over. Meet the Viper Chair, America's number one shop chair, made right here in the USA. The Viper Chair glides over any surface and loose debris with 4-inch industrial-grade casters. Relieve your lower back pain with the perfectly angled backrest. Prevent tipping and improve posture with a wide, sturdy base. Viper Chairs are designed for every industry: automotive, detailing, welding, or any other project in your garage, no matter what you love to do. With an artillery of accessories, Viper is here to help you with whatever the job requires. Stop wasting your money buying cheap China-made shop stools and get yourself a Viper chair. Handcrafted right here in America. Visit ViperIndustrial.com now for our $50 site-wide sale. But hurry, this will end soon. Shop ViperIndustrial.com. That's ViperIndustrial.com.
And if you use the code DSP, you'll save an additional $25 off of that sale. So you can stack them, save $75. Go do it. Go buy a chair. It's Christmas time. do you still do the videos like here and there, or you just stop doing them altogether?
Yeah, like here. And I'm doing the editing. I really found someone with me and with a lot of talking about it, he sort of like did it the way I want it to be done. But the emotional thing, it just went a little bit out of the videos.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah. So I recently uploaded a video, I think like two or three weeks ago. And after 1 year of not uploading, and immediately everything dropped, you know, nobody's watching anymore, I think. Yeah. I think I have like a video out there in the beginning at like 800,000 or 900,000 views or something, almost a million.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But now like 1,200, 1,500 views, because I'm not doing it like regularly.
But that's still pretty good for not doing it regularly.
Yeah. That's not good enough. Listen, not on YouTube.
Listen. I do two podcasts a week every week, and we have like 300 listeners. So I would take 1,200 views any day.
That's the growth.
Yeah, yeah. What's your YouTube channel if somebody wants to go check it out?
Ride and Shine.
Ride and Shine. Okay.
Yeah, Ride and Shine.
I'll try to copy the link and put it in the show notes.
I think I have to watch. Yeah, if you just go on YouTube and click it, type in Ride and Shine, you will find me.
Yeah, yeah.
Or type in Modesta. If you type in Modesta, you'll also find me. At one point, everybody thought that I was like the Modesta Netherlands and everything, because everybody knew me, but not the distributor.
That was weird. Wow. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, that was crazy.
So is the distributor over there? I can't remember if I met him when we did the podcast or not. Is he a detailer or not? Because I know the one guy who's not really a detailer, but he's a distributor. I forget where he is.
No, he has a very big company in car wash. He has a very big car wash, and he also does detailing. But he doesn't do it anymore himself, I believe. He's just like only doing the management.
Right. Yeah, that's the way to go. That's the way to go.
Yeah, I thought I was going also there, but you know what it is? I can't leave it, you know. I have to polish
sometimes. It's hard, man. I mean, I managed car washes for years, and you know, there was a lot of times where it was, you know, just stand back and watch things work, and you know, well-oiled machine, you know, if you manage it correctly, and stand back and just, you know, talk with customers and, you know, build a relationship or whatever. But you know, the one thing that was always missing from it for me was the actual working in the detail shop, because that's where I started. I started in the detail shop at the car wash and learned, and so that's what I love about my business is I still get that, you know, I still get that manager feel or whatever role, especially when I'm talking to clients, you know, building that rapport, making them feel comfortable, you know, explaining everything to them, you know, but then as soon as they're gone, then it's me hands on, you know, and I get that, that, you know, that satisfaction of being the one doing the work, you know, versus when I was at the car wash, you know, just turn it over to one of the detailers and let them do it kind of thing, you know? So,
but I'm lying if I'm telling you that I really love polishing, because especially on very scratched cars, it's not nice to do, you know. Both my arms, you know, what, like a tennis arm, polishing.
Yeah, that's the one thing I've noticed is, you know, I don't think mine have gotten as bad as Levi Gates told the story of his, you know, where he kind of like, you know, it started in his wrist and worked up to his elbows, and now he's into his shoulders, like where he's actually done some pretty bad damage. I don't think mine's gotten that far, but I do notice, you know, every now and then that, you know, the elbows get a little sore. I usually try to do some kind of, you know, stretching or whatever with it too every now and then, especially if I'm just like when I get home at night and I'm just sitting, I try to, you know, move my wrist around, you know, get the wrist going, move the arms around, you know, get the elbows going to try and like relieve it. But yeah, I mean, I get it. And I don't do, I mean, I'm not polishing every day either. I mean,
me neither.
You know, I'm so small and, you know, not high volume. So like I'm maybe polishing one car a week. So it's not too bad on me. But see, I love polishing. I hate everything else. You know, like I wish I was busy enough that I could hire somebody to do like the wash and the decon and then go away while I polish. And then they could come back and do the coating or the waxing or whatever. Cause like I almost hate that part too. I just love the compounded polishing part. Like that's what, if I could just do that, not do any of the other stuff, I'd be happier.
I really love coating. I really love it. Yeah. It's nice to do. And it's satisfying or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
Giving,
I don't know.
Touching touch.
Yeah, here, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I feel, I guess it's that anxiety that kicks in that I'm like, oh shit, did I leave it on too long? Or did I not leave it on long enough? Or, you know, and our humidity here in Florida is so whack that a lot of times it's, I mean, you, depending on the time of the year, I mean, you really have to wipe it on, wipe it off, because if you leave it on any longer than forget about it. So then you get in the habit of, okay, like wipe on, wipe off, I'm good. And then you get like a cooler day or maybe the humidity's not as high but you're still in that wipe on, wipe off. But then as you're wiping off, it becomes a little bit smeary and you're like, shit, I got to let it sit a little bit longer or whatever. So yeah, that's what I don't like about the coating. It's just too weird here.
Well, for me, I have now three guys working with me.
Okay.
Yeah. So but we're not like, I'm not letting one guy work at one car, you know.
Two guys,
one car each side.
Right.
You know, and then I'm also checking every time.
Yeah.
So and it's always better because if you have to, you know how it is. If you have to do the whole car by yourself, especially when it's like a Q7 or something, a bigger car.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh man, come on, that's. It's killing me.
I like how you said Q7 is a big car. Apparently, you haven't done any American cars.
Yeah, because
like a Cadillac Escalade or like a Lincoln Navigator is like two times the size of a Q7 almost.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, that's the difference.
Yeah, exactly.
But we have a lot of trucks. But if I have like a Dodge Ram or an F. Okay. 150. I got a 250 in a few months ago. And those are really big. Really, really big.
Yeah. Well, the 250. Yeah, the 250s are big. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It's hard to get into the wash bay, but it fits. It fits.
Oh wow, that's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to look it up online. We have a crazy wash bay that's really big.
Okay. Yeah, oh, okay.
It's like almost 65 square meters.
Okay, I'll have to do the conversion on that.
I don't know how much that is. It's big. If we put in like an F-250, we can still open the doors and walk around it.
Okay.
Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah. That's pretty decent size because an F-250 is pretty big. So let's see. Oh, okay, so that's 699 square feet. So that's, yeah. So your wash bay is bigger than my detail shop.
Yeah, I think I've heard that a lot.
Yeah, so your wash bay is basically 700 square feet. My detail shop is 600 square feet. So
okay,
so your wash bay is like 100 square feet bigger. So no, but that's pretty good size. I mean, I can get two F-250s in. I mean, I've even had an F-450 dually in there. And still had plenty of room to open doors, walk around, and everything. Yeah.
And then we have like four car lifts, and two of them we work with polishing, and the other two is for PPF.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty bad ass. Let's do another break real quick and we'll come back. Okay.
What's happening, Detail Solutions Podcast? Ian here from Auto Fiber. I've got a special discount for our Towel of the Month Club. TOTM25 will get you 25% off of the Towel of the Month Club. And in the Towel of the Month Club, pretty much you sign up, pay for a year, and every month we're going to send you a different sample of a different type of towel or applicator. So it's a good way to get different samples and try different types of our products. So use TOTM25 at checkout for 25% off.
All right. So I just did the math during the commercial. So my shop is 55 square meters.
Okay.
So I guess it's 10 square meters for 100 square feet. So.
Yeah. We just moved there. I think, it's already 2 years now. Yeah. We had the Corona, of course, so 2 years. I'm still missing those 2 years.
Yeah. So how bad was that for you guys over there? Because I know we've got some friends in the UK and Scotland and everything, and they were pretty bad. And I can't remember. And I talked with Esme back in, I think either the end of 2020 or beginning of 2021, and she's in Netherlands too. She said it was detailing girl and she said it was a little tough for her. But how was it for you? You know,
when it started, I think the second week or something, my whole agenda was empty.
Oh, wow.
Everything dropped. Everything was gone, and we were at that point we just opened up the new shop.
Oh.
And each euro I have earned, everything that I got was in the shop, everything.
Right.
We spend more because you know how it goes. You just want to finish it. It's still not finished, but like, you know, so everything was in there. I was looking at my wife also. I said, okay, this is not going the way it should be. But, and I was sitting at my desk and was like, okay, what am I going to do? And then she said, well, you already have a lot of clientele, you know, just call them, email them, see what happens. And so we started calling them and emailing them. And I have also some car collectors and some high-end customers. I just called them up. I said, I know you have like 60 cars or 20 cars or 30 cars. Yeah. Do you need something to be done? Because before Corona, you were telling me, please hurry up, my car needs to be ready.
Right.
Because there's another one waiting. So we did that, and they helped, you know. Of course, shall we bring it tomorrow? And so cars just keep getting in, and it was getting more busy and busy and busy. And, normal customers were coming because they were not working. They were sitting at home. And we didn't have to close, you know, because we're like a garage.
It's
weird, but okay.
Yeah.
And people were using us to, you know, to get out, to bring the car, get a cup of coffee, and
you were essential. You were an essential.
I was essential. Yeah, really essential.
That's what everybody over here used, the loophole of the essential worker, because because detailers do fall under auto repairs technically.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody was like, you know, we're essential. So we went to work.
And after that, we I think we did the best 2 years.
Nice. Yeah, I think everybody did. And I think, I mean, just my opinion, so what take it for whatever it is. But, you know, obviously with no travel, not a lot of places being open, people weren't spending money like they normally would. Yeah. So, and then two, right, car shortages, you know, with the chips and all that stuff. So people couldn't really buy new cars and maybe didn't want to get rid of theirs for another used car. So I think people were just dumping money in the last 2 years, dumping money into their cars to have them, you know, done or redone or whatever. To me this year, it seems like it's, you know, and again, it's me. I know a lot of people are still thriving pretty good, but we've kind of hit that slowdown. We've kind of gone back to, at least this last quarter of the year, we've kind of gone back to how it was pre-COVID, you know, back to our normal, you know, months of income and stuff like that, which is not bad, but, you know, the last couple of years were like better, you know, it sucks to go.
Yeah, but we're going to a new problem.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how it's in the US, but in Europe, we are having problems right now because all the costs, like for groceries and for the water, for the light, for the gas, everything, it's going insanely up. And what I'm noticing is that when people come in to bring the car, if they even want to come, they don't want to do the bumper repair or just skip the glass coating, the window coating, and don't do the leather interior maybe next year. Right. Don't do the rim repair, you know, and those are all a lot of things. If you sell that with one detailing
package,
sorry, you know, it's gonna give you more and more income,
right?
But if they only do the paint correction and the coating, that's it.
Yeah.
So yeah, and that's what I'm noticing. People are skipping a lot of things.
Yeah.
So we're a little bit ahead of what we did last year, but not the percentage I wanted to be. You know, right. We have like goals that we want to go to, and we're not there, and we're not going to make it. Also,
yeah, yeah. That's kind of how, you know, this year was the same for me. I mean, we had our biggest year ever last year, and this year, you know, we weren't even gonna touch it. I kind of had a feeling beginning of the year that it was gonna go back, and mm-hmm. I said, okay, well, at least if we can do, you know, better than 2019, you know, not as great as 20 or 21, we'll be okay. And you know, kind of the same thing. We're doing a little bit better than 2019, but we're not quite at the where I'd like to be for this year, even being down from last year. And it doesn't look, and I'm not sure that we'll make it. I mean, I've got about, I need to probably be about $3,000 or $4,000 more work in December to get there. So hopefully, I mean, realistically though, I mean, that's, you know, one person calling and doing a coding job with some add-ons, or two coding jobs. So, I mean, it's realistically possible to do, but again, you know, holidays at the end of the month, usually. We usually pretty much die out that last, you know, from Christmas to New Year's anyways. So,
we don't have that. We don't have that normally.
Really?
No, I don't have any downtime. The whole year is just that's also weird.
For me it always goes in waves. Like we usually start the year off a little slow. I think people are, you know, recouping from the holidays, and then usually like March, April, it gets really busy through July, and in August when the kids go back to school, it dips back down, and then we kind of go back up in September, October, November dips a little bit, then in December is kind of iffy, and then we start the whole year over again. It's for me, it's always been like that, even going back to running the car wash. Like, I could always kind of tell, you know, that it followed that same kind of pattern in the car wash when I ran the car wash as well. So at least it wasn't a shock for me when I started my own business. I was able to say, like, okay, well, this is usually when it's busy in the car wash, so hopefully we'll be busy, and this is usually when it's slow, so we can kind of, you know, especially with my wife, like, you know, for income for the house, like, we can forecast. So yeah, you know, like, she's, when it's busy, like, you know, pay off as much as she can, whatever. And then when it's busy, because then she's not going to be able to make as much, you know, as far as like trying to pay things down, like, or pay things off, she's going to have to just do whatever we can do. She can't pay more than. So it's
really important that you buffer up, you know. For the slow, for down times.
Yep.
Don't spend everything. That's the best thing to do. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. You gotta save a little bit so that you can have it to go. But yeah, I mean, you're kind of going back to what you said. I mean, it's getting that way here. I mean, I don't know that you know, food and costs are as crazy as what I'm seeing a lot of people talk about over in Europe and kind of the rest of the world. But I mean, there's definitely an increase in, you know, milk prices and, you know, food prices and things like that have definitely gone up. You know, for sure.
You know what it is? We're at the end of the line, but because when people are have to pay like 400 or 500 like euros or dollars each month more in Europe, it's not, we have to pay like a minimum like 300 euros. We have extra costs now each month. That's normal for everyone. Yeah. And then if you have to bring your car to the detailer, and the detailer is telling you, well, you can put your coating 15, 16, 1700 euros.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the whole news, everything is telling you that next year, even it's getting worse, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They're not going to spend any more money on their car.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, that's one of the things I always try to tell people. I mean, and this is something I learned, you know, back in 2008 when we had, you know, the big recession here, you know, and even the car wash, you know, dipped a lot. Is, you know, we are strictly a luxury service. Like, people don't need to have their cars detailed. You know, they want to have their cars detailed, and so if they don't have the money, you know, they're not going to be there.
And you can say that maybe you are in the wrong clientele. You know, you have to go up to the higher clientele.
Yeah.
But even those people are saving up some money because they're losing way too much money on the Bitcoin.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, not only that, but those people are also smarter.
Yeah.
And they may have the money to spend, you know, $1,500 to $2,000 on a coating, but they know, like, should I do this right now? And that's one of the things I feel like I've been very lucky with my clientele is, they are, majority of them, you know, well-to-do, they have the money, but at the same time, they're still very, you know, smart and savvy about it. You know, when I try to, like, you know, I was talking to one of my clients yesterday who could, you know, easily, you know, afford to do a coding job, no problem. But he changes cars so rapidly that we've gotten now to where I just do like 1 year coatings on his car because no sense, you know, like that's one funny. Car.
I had the same.
Yeah. One car he kept for like 6 months. And I'm like, why did we even coat? You know, like I fine, give me the money, but, you know, at the same time, I feel like it's taking advantage of him. And so it's been like a year and a half since we put that 1 year coating on, and it's still holding up pretty good. I mean, it's, you know, some, the hood is, you know, not as, the water behavior isn't as hydrophobic, and, you know, the sides are pretty decent, things like that. And so I had asked him, I said, well, you know, you've kept this one longer than normal. What's your plans? Like, you know, 'cause the coating is starting to kind of wear on it. And he's like, no, he's like, I'll probably keep it. He's got a Range Rover autobiography. And he's like, I'll probably keep it for another 2 years, because he goes, we have an order in for the new one, but it's going to be 2 years to get the new one. Yeah. But he's like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I just want to put more money into it. He's like, he's like, right now, I just don't know if I want to spend the money on it. You know,
now, you know what, and it so, is they, when he brings back the car, they only look at the mileage.
Yeah.
And when it's built, you know, the year, the make of year, and then how it looks generally.
Oh yeah.
If there's a coating on it or PPF on it, like dealerships, care. They don't care really.
Yeah, they don't care at all. But no. But again, it's he could easily afford to pay me to do it.
Yeah, but I'm gonna do it.
He's smart enough to know, like, okay, but you know, the situation, the times we're in, do I need to do it, right? No, I don't need to do it. This one's still holding up a little bit. And that's, you know, that's what he said. He said, let me know when it's fully gone, when you don't, when there's no more, you know, water behavior, or you don't feel like there's any more protection there. He's like, and then we'll talk about it. So I was like, all right, that's fine.
Yeah, but at the end, you're gonna sell him more because you're honest.
Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly. The only way to go, you know.
Right.
And then,
right.
And then we also, and then with the costs that a lot of people are paying a lot of cost. Now in the Netherlands, everybody's starting his own detailing business.
Yeah, it's so, over here too.
That's stupid. And you know what really bothers me, and I have to get this off my chest. they're getting online doing trainings again, like 1-2 day training on each and every company. They will get a certificate, hang it on the wall, and people believe that they are detailers. But those guys are learning. Same as we learned, of course. They're just starting and, you know, working on cars, but they're doing that on prices, you know, that are way, way too low.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. So they're just, you know, ruining up the whole market.
Yeah,
and of course, a lot of them will go. You know, they will.
A lot of them will go, and especially the ones. I mean, I almost feel bad for the ones that are starting right now, right? Because people that have been retailers that have been in business like. For long times are struggling right now and not sure if they can kind of keep it going. So somebody just starting out, there's good luck.
And they want to get the cars in. So especially the really expensive cars.
Oh yeah.
They will do it for bottom prices.
Yeah.
But I can't understand the owners of the cars also, you know?
Yeah. Why?
That's weird. You know, you have a 200,000 euro car, and you'll bring it for to a detailer who does a job for 200-300 euros.
I don't know. I've stopped chasing the exotic guys. I mean, I have a couple of clients with them, you know, and they're fine, but I stopped chasing them because what I found was like what you just said, right? Like they typically they're cheap, you know. They're not going to keep the car that long, right? They've already got the next whatever ordered, you know. It's going to be out in like 3 years, so they're just having this car for that time, and they're not going to put any miles on it, you know, because then they can't sell it for anything. So, you know, they don't want to spend a lot of money on a coating for a car that most of the time just sits in the garage doing nothing. So they're cheap.
But like for trainings, you know, but we're also thinking about doing trainings because for detailers, especially when you're out there longer and you have like a good job and you know what you're doing, you can teach other people.
Yeah.
But we're thinking about it. I'm also like a Rupus trainer.
Okay.
It's not like very important thing because when you do the training, you get a certificate also, you get the friends. Right. Hey, I'm Rupus. that's it, right? Okay, but they're looking at some other things also. But I'm the only one in the Netherlands who's like a real certificate, you know.
Nice. Yeah.
But it's we really want to do like 2 week trainings,
uh-huh.
And then each day like 8 to 10 hours hands on.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and we have to do like a real. Hands-on training and also like the theoretical side.
Like classroom setting.
And then you have to like pass an exam, a real exam.
Oh, wow.
But the problem for that is, who are we, you know?
Yeah,
We're like, well, yeah. So my exam doesn't mean any shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I can give the certificate and say, well, yeah, but he has an exam. So we have to get someone behind it.
Yeah.
Not the IDA, because the IDA started in the Netherlands, but, you know, they came to me if I want to be a part of that, but no, thank you. I asked the guy who's going to do it some really important questions, and he couldn't answer them, you know?
Right, yeah.
Not really one good answer. And I think the whole idea around the IDA is just that people are, like for the US, they're only filling up their pockets with money and you get nothing for it. But in the Netherlands, we have it's called FOCWA. I don't think you know it, but that's really a branch organization for garages.
Okay.
And when people hear that kind of brands, everybody knows it. Like we have a sort of ANWB is also a very big known brand that people, okay, right. If you buy a car from them or you bring a car to them, you have extra guarantees, and that's all, it's proven, yeah. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, we have something like, I guess what would be considered over here is our ASC certified mechanics,
yeah,
or
sort of like that. Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah.
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 But if I hang up a sign like IDA, who the hell's IDA? Nobody knows who IDA is. Yeah, yeah. So that's it.
Yeah.
So we have to get someone behind us like that, like a real branch organization who will make the certificate or the diploma real. And that's the only thing that, and then when people go away, they really learn something, you know, because they're paying a lot of money for trainings everywhere. But you have to learn something and have someone behind you also. So I'm really, you know, it's getting I'm getting annoyed of all the posts on online. Maybe I should stop looking at them. I don't know. But with all the trainings everywhere, come on, man.
Yeah.
I
mean, the only one I ever did was Gloss University, and I think the guys at Gloss University are doing it right, because it's not. It's an advanced training. So you already, to go to it, you already have to know, you know, because they're not going to teach you paint correction. They're not going to teach you, you know, whatever. But the cool thing that they do is, you know, they do the wet sanding with Kilmer and Noxie, the guys with KXK, you know. So if you know paint correction, but you don't know wet sanding, right, you can go there and you can learn wet sanding. And then, you know, with David Patterson and Matty Arndt and some of the other people, you know, if you just want to, you know, get better at your correction skills, they do that. And theirs is pretty cool, because they do, I mean, granted, it's a 2-day, because, you know, it's hard to get people to, especially, you know, the way that, because they bring in a lot of brands and companies to come in and do some trainings as well. And you can't really have those people sitting around for long periods of time. But what's nice about it is they split it up. So you have classroom setting, you know, first part of the day, and then hands-on, like, second part of the day. And it's, you know, I think that's a way to do it, you know, whether it's Gloss University. Rennie does some pretty good trainings too. You know, I mean, he does his 3-day and his 5-day. So, I mean, you're really getting a lot of, you know, hands-on and classroom settings. So kind of like what you're saying, I think those are the trainings you go to. And it's funny, because the last episode we just did was kind of about trainings, like why you should spend the money to better yourselves in training versus just bettering yourself on a machine. And that was one of the things we were talking about, is, you know, picking a training that's actually going to help you excel versus kind of like the ones that you're alluding to, where you just go, you spend two days, you get certified for something, you get a little certificate, the thumbs up, you know, and now you're allowed to use that brand, you know, kind of thing. Like, that's not a real training, in my opinion. But yeah. Let's do our last commercial break. For everybody listening, listen, sorry I haven't changed this one yet, but, you know, it's holiday season, so it'll fit. And then we'll come back and we'll wrap up. I'll do my last little question for you or whatever, and we'll finish up. So here we go. If you want your girl to gobble your drumstick and berries, make sure they're not too hairy. If you want to look like dessert, then you need Manscaped's Performance 4.0 package. Inside, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies. So trim your pumpkins by going to manscaped.com and use the code DSP for free shipping worldwide and 20% off. Laugh, laugh, laugh. Everybody loves that.
Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah. I'm trying to work on a holiday, like a Christmas one, you know, involving Santa's sack and jingle bells and stuff like that. So, I gotta put that together before the next one. So the last question I want to ask you, it's the one that I finish up or started finishing up with. And this could be, you know, kind of however you look at it, whether it was, you know, earlier on, later on, however. But when did you realize your worth? Like, what was that aha moment that you were like, okay, either I've made it or shoot, I'm really worth more than this. I need to increase my prices or increase the way that I do things or whatever. What was that moment for you?
So you mean the moment that I was like doing my work too cheap or something?
Not necessarily doing it too cheap, but that moment that you realized that you know, because all detailers that I've talked to are kind of always like, they don't think they're as good as they think they are kind of thing. So, I mean, it could be the moment you realize like, oh, shoot, I need to raise my prices. Or maybe it's the moment that somebody who you look up to that you never thought, like, you know, came and told you how good you are. Or maybe it's just the moment, you know, that just that light bulb goes off in your head where you're like, wait, I'm really this good. I'm really, you know. Pat myself on the back.
I think around, like, I was starting 5 years later or something. I had this moment that I was thinking, okay, I see a lot of companies around me, but what I'm doing looks better or is better or getting better. And I was always, because it's not only about correction work, it's the whole idea around it, you know, it's the whole show. Everything needs to be perfect. So when I was doing like my new shop, the one before this one, we had this point that, okay, we're doing a lot of good work. So we raised the prices a bit because we're doing like what we're doing with, we're offering good work for normal prices. So we're not going up very high because it's not necessary, you know. It's this time that you work on the car, spending so many hours using this product, you know, this is the end result and this is what my work is worth. But then at this shop, especially together with Yuri, what we're doing, and we're bringing up our work, our level again. I think like 1 year ago we had the same thing again. So okay, where a lot of people are telling us that we're really doing a good job, and we're not like, and recently now that I'm telling you this, you know, it already is sort of like strange because you don't want to say that from yourself, you know. It's not like look how good we are. And then Yuri told me, and I told him at almost the same time, maybe we should get more out there and show our work and say, hey, we can do this really good, you know, and make it a little bit more. So here we are.
Right.
And so I think like one year ago, again, we had this. So we're still growing. I hope this sort of answers your question.
No, it does. Yeah, it does. Yeah, I mean, the way that I get it is your aha moment was kind of, you know, from your clients telling you how good you guys are and, you know, giving you that boost in confidence to be like, we are that good. I mean, you're not just out there like, you know, I'm the best guy in the Netherlands, you know, but you're getting that from your clients that you can say, yes, we are the best that we can be. We are the best at this or whatever. So No, I think you answered it perfectly. I appreciate
it. And also, that's one more thing. If we have, from all the cars that we do, if we have one returning customer, this is really the truth. If you have one returning customer a year with a really with a real problem, so that's not that they cost themselves, wrong washing or whatsoever, but really like when PPF come loose or when something strange is happening with a coating or whatsoever, one, just one, and that's it. Because what we're doing now, and that's also one thing that I've noticed that we're maybe a sort of aha moment. When we plan a car, I always tell the customer it's ready when it's ready.
Right.
And if it takes me a day or 2 days longer, then it's my problem. But the car is not going to go out before it's ready. And to our at our standards, especially with the PPF installation, and otherwise it's not going to go.
Yeah.
And then you have to wait. People sometimes call me, is it ready on Friday before the weekend because I have to go? No, I'm sorry. I'm coding it on Friday. We're closed on Saturday. So you're not going to pick up the car on Saturday. Monday, Monday morning, you're the first one to come up to pick up your car.
Right.
And now I'm at this point that I can do that. People are saying, okay.
Yeah.
That's their answer. Okay. Thank you.
No. And that's great. Yeah. That's great. I mean, that's something that I kind of strive for because, you know, I typically tell people, you know, it's a 3-day process for the most part, you know, for a correction and a coating, because it gives me, you know, a day and a half to correct it and polish it out and get it all worked. And then a half a day to coat it and then let it cure out overnight, come back and check it over, look at it, you know, make sure it's good to go. But there's a lot of times where, you know, sometimes I feel a little bit rushed even with those 3 days that, you know, I'm kind of like, maybe I should just adopt, you know, like what you said, you know, it'll be done when it's done. It'll be done when it's done, you know, cause realistically, if I do a coding job, I mean, you know, we're so small and, you know, not trying to light the detailing world on fire, that one coding job a week for me, I'm perfectly happy with it. It's great money for me. You know, and so if I said, you know, drop it off on Monday, you'll have it back on Friday, you know, the latest, like to me, I could still probably get it done and give it to him by Wednesday. But if I needed that extra day Wednesday to get it done or that extra day Thursday. So that's the one thing I kind of strive to get to is where I can start telling people like, you know, hey, this is drop it off on a Monday, get it back whenever. Could be Wednesday, could be Friday, who knows.
And maybe you have like on Wednesday you have another customer coming in for like an interior job or something.
Yeah.
And it gives you time also to do some other things.
Yeah.
And then the car is still there, you know, it doesn't matter for them if it's one or 2 days longer. Yeah.
Exactly.
I have a customer who called me last week. He has his new AMG one coming next year.
Oh wow.
And but we do.
Hang on. For everybody, he did say the AMG one, not just say AM, not just one AMG, an AMG one.
AMG one. Yeah. It has to have a full body PPF and coating.
Wow.
And he tells me, I don't want the car there too long because he already brought his Devo also to us. Because he said, on the Devo, you were working like 1 month. And we're not really like working 1 month on the car, but you know, PPF installation on the Devo, it took us almost 2 weeks.
Yeah, because there's not a pattern for that anyway. No. And you said
the only one in the world at that point.
Oh, wow.
And he told me, I said, it needs to be done in 1 week. And otherwise, it's costing me money. Why it's costing you money? He said, no, it needs to be. And then I told him, okay, you're a very good customer, but it's not going to be done in 1 week. Because you want like a perfect job. They don't want to spend too much money. AMG one. They don't want to spend money.
Like $4 million car or something like that.
And I want it to be done in 1 week. Come on.
Yeah.
That's not possible. That's not possible. Yeah. So, luckily, We have a lot of customers who think otherwise. But he's bringing that kind of cars to us. And then when it's there and he's looking at the work, he said, okay, yeah, you need another two days.
Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, I appreciate you coming on and doing this. You know, shout out to John Perdue. Thanks for putting this together. I think this was a really good one. We went a little bit over. Normally I try to keep them to an hour, but like we don't have a hard line at an hour. I mean, and that's the thing. If it flows, it flows. We go longer, and that was the cool thing about talking with you on this episode was it flowed. It was a good flow. It was a good conversation. It went longer.
Yeah, so. It was nice. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I like talking to you. Maybe we should do it more, but then not on the show.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, listen. We can connect through Messenger or whatever. That's the thing I love about doing this too, is I always make a new friend every week, it seems like, you know. But yeah, man, thanks for coming on and doing this. I'm excited for this one, you know. We haven't done a Q&A one in a couple of weeks because of the holidays here and everything. Mm-hmm. So this was a fun one, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So before we go, if anybody wants to reach out to you and say hey, or just, you know, talk to you or whatever, what's best way for people to get a hold of you?
Just Google on Ride and Shine, or Google on my name, Serge Langendoen. You can go on to our website. You have all the social media. We're on Instagram. We're on YouTube. We are on Facebook. I'm not doing TikTok and that sort of things. I think I need to go on there, but everybody's telling me go on TikTok.
Here's my problem with TikTok is I go on there to try and make something for the podcast, and then I start watching the videos.
Yeah.
And the algorithm knows me. It's all like little comedy sketches or funny things or whatever. And I just start laughing. I scroll, and then it's 2 hours later and I'm like, oh shit, I was supposed to post something. And I'm like, well, I don't want to post anything now. And I put down the phone. I walk away.
Well, you can't do anything. You can't do everything. You know, it's hard.
Yeah, I know. It is.
But they can find me on internet. Just Google on Ride and Shine, and you can find me.
Awesome,
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I know it's it's pushing almost 8 o'clock there, I think.
Quarter to 8.
Yeah. Yep. Again, congratulations on you guys winning the match today. Boohoo.
Yeah.
Listen, man, I'll talk to you later, man. We'll definitely keep
talk to you later. Okay. See you.
All right, man. Have a great night.
Have a great night also. Have nice days, okay?
Yeah. It's 2 o'clock here, or almost 2 o'clock here. So it'll be a nice afternoon. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you later, man. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. So yeah, that was great. So again, just please go share, follow, subscribe anywhere you're listening to the podcast. I didn't say it earlier, but you guys know it, man. You guys are asking for your customers to leave reviews because it helps you with Google. So please, anywhere you listen to the podcast, please leave us a review. Even if it's just clicking the 5 stars, that still helps us. I know with Apple, you can actually write a review, and that helps even more because it does push us into the, hey, you might like to listen to kind of things for people, especially since we're in the automotive section of the leisure section. Automotive is a subsection of leisure in the podcast. I don't know. It's all weird, but yeah, just go leave us a message or go leave us a review. Appreciate it. Don't forget, we do have the hotline sponsored by Enzo North America. That's 689-610-2275. That line is open all the time. You can call there. I'm not going to answer it, but you can call and leave a voicemail. We'll play your message on a future episode. For everybody who's internationally and doesn't want to be like Cam Scorey and spend $100 every time he calls us, you can use WhatsApp. I do have WhatsApp on the phone. I'm just not sure how you would go about long distance. I know usually the U.S. is, country code is 1. I know usually if you're calling a phone number from internationally, it's 001, but with WhatsApp, I think it's a little bit different. But yeah, so until next time, hopefully we will have a great episode for you on the next one. You guys take care. Have a good day, night, whenever you listen to this. Bye.